Hey, Mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well Nourished Mama podcast. I am very excited for you to listen to today's conversation because I interviewed my friend Britt. She is a holistic nutritionist from Canada. We actually met on Instagram, and we are talking all about burnout. We're going to learn about cortisol and our stress response and how you can understand the difference between I'm just a little bit stressed, or wow, I've been stressed for a long time, I need to kind of dial it back, or the phase of burnout when just like everything is flatlined and you just need a hard factory reset. She works on this a lot with her clients, and she uses a holistic approach to tackle it. So we talk mostly about nutrition and things that we can do to fuel our bodies, both as a preventative measure and as a treatment measure, but then also some lifestyle things as well that can help us work through stages of burnout. And something really, really important that we talk about in the episode that I want to reiterate right now is this idea that we often think that the goal is to get rid of stress in our life. Usually when we talk to people, they're like, oh, well, you just need to stop being stressed. You need to get rid of your stress. That's not possible. And that's not really how it's supposed to be. There actually are good things in our life that can cause good stress, right? Getting married is a stressful thing, but it's a good stress because there's a good thing coming from it, right? Or having a baby, it's stressful, but yet we're excited and we're looking forward to it. And so there are things in life that cause good stress, and stress is always going to be there. So it's not about trying to avoid it or get rid of it, but it's about managing it and learning how to deal with it, and then also recognize the signs of burnout before you get to that point. But thankfully, Britt is an expert in all of it. And so she's going to help us understand not only how to recognize before we get there, but then what to do if we're already at the burnout phase and how we can recover from that and kind of reset, and things that we can do in our daily life to just feel good, even though we are busy and we have lots going on. So I think today's conversation is going to be really, really relevant for you, especially as we go into the spring, when our energy is starting to come back and our kids are having more activities and more friends to hang out with, and maybe we're planning for summer vacations and being on the go all the time. So I really hope you find some little gems in today's conversation that just empower you for the next couple months, or hopefully indefinitely, of how you're going to intentionally take care of yourself so that you don't have to worry about getting to this burnout phase and then going through this vicious cycle over and over again. So with all of that, let's jump into today's interview with my friend Britt, all about burnout and how to handle it holistically. Hey Mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of two and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this, you're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day, and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. You're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life. Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? How I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum. If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6 week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list. Britt is a registered holistic nutritionist and Bachelor of Science degree holder located in Northern Ontario. She is rooted in science and uses evidence-based approaches to help her clients get to the root of their digestive issues, beat burnout, eat to ease anxiety, and build long-term healthy habits without restrictions. She loves helping her clients find joy in the kitchen, enjoy a loving relationship with food, and finally feel like they can eat some of their favorite foods after years and years of restriction. Having been through all the digestive issues, anxiety, and burnout herself, Britt is incredibly passionate about all things gut health related and the connection that it has with the mind. Britt has worked with many one-on-one clients and has been able to help them uncover the missing pieces of their health picture, creating health plans that feel realistic and aligned with their values and lifestyle. Britt also has a podcast, the Balanced with Britt podcast, with new episodes weekly. Hey, Britt, thanks so much for joining us today. We're excited to have you here.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
For all of the mamas listening, I was actually on Britt's podcast first about a month ago. So I'm now returning the favor and we are very excited to have you here. And we're talking about a really interesting topic today. And when you mentioned it to me in our email thread, I was like, oh my gosh, that's perfect. My mamas really need to hear that. So today we're going to be talking about burnout, being overly stressed, being stuck in fight or flight, whatever you want to call it, and how we can tackle that from a holistic nutritional perspective. This is something that Britt specializes in and helps women with regularly. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this. But before we jump into that, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, and how you got to where you are?
Absolutely. I am so excited to chat about this topic. And a large part of it is because it is involved in my own health journey as well. Stress is kind of an inevitable part of life. And I think we all often, I don't know, me and my friends anyways, have gone through this phase of life where like the hustle culture is real. And, you know, I was working multiple jobs to get through university and then pay off university, moving from one city to another. All of a sudden I'm in my like early 20s and, you know, you are graduating university and you're like the stress of what do I do with the rest of my life? And I found in that phase, that early 20s phase of life, I was highly, highly anxious. I was dealing with anxiety like crazy. I was noticing physical changes in my body, like I was gaining weight, dealing with fatigue and digestive issues and lots of hormone issues as well, like irregular periods, PMS symptoms like crazy. It felt like I maybe had one good week of the month and then it was PMS period and, you know, dealing with everything in between. So, you know, on paper, I felt like my diet was pretty good. I was a vegetarian. I'd been one for a long time since I was like an adolescent. I felt like I was eating my veggies and I worked out, like I was active. But a lot of what I was doing was kind of contributing to the burnout cycle. I was working two jobs, sometimes from like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. I was waking up at 6 a.m. to get my workout in, working out fasted, drinking coffee before I had breakfast. My breakfast was not a satiating one. And I was often relying on sugar or caffeine to get through the afternoons. And then this anxiety stress cycle really was perpetuated. The gut health issues, the hormone imbalance issues. And I feel like this is so many people that I talk to now. And It wasn't until I kind of took a step back from like my hustle culture life and I went back to school to be a holistic nutritionist so I could support myself and was like, you know, is my lifestyle supporting me right now? And this is me in my early 20s and I should be as resilient as possible. And I was anything but, like, I was so anxious that even like driving my car was difficult. So it really took me taking a step back and looking at my lifestyle holistically to see where the gaps were. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about some of these because there so many of us do these without even realizing it sometimes. I still have stressful days here and there now, but I do feel like my stress resiliency toolbox is built in a way that I can support myself in those anxious moments, in those stressful moments. And we'll definitely talk about that toolbox as well. But that led me to where I am today in supporting clients with anxiety, burnout, high stress, inflammation, poo problems. I love talking about poop because these things are all connected. And I think these are the things we not need to talk about. These things that we don't talk about, like periods, poop and libido, everything in between. And a lot of it is connected to our stress levels. So I'm really happy that we're diving into this.
Me too. I really want to touch on something that you said at the beginning. You talked about how you were constantly fatigued and you were gaining weight. And there were a couple other things where you just sit there and you're like, like PMS and hormonal stuff and, tummy issues, whether it's like constipation, bloating, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and I was like, I'm sure there are so many women out there that just think that that's normal. They're like, that's just a part of being a woman. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to have tummy troubles. I'm supposed to PMS half the month and then bleed the other half. And that's mm-hmm. just my life. And you and I are here to be like, actually, that's not normal. That's mm-hmm. signs that you're stressed. That's signs that stuff is going on. And not only can we fix it, but we can prevent it most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I am so excited that we're going to talk about this today because I want moms to know that how you used to feel is mm-hmm. not normal. And that's not how they have to live their life. So moms are probably stressed most of the mm-hmm. time. We've got kids, mm-hmm. We've got busy schedules, all these things. How do we handle that stress? Is stress always a bad thing? What's going on in our body when we're stressed? Can you just like give us a lowdown on what stress is to us physiologically?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I definitely want to start by saying the goal is not to have stress. It's not realistic. I get stressed. I'm sure you get stressed. Especially as moms, this is a stressful period of life. You're losing sleep. You're, you know, dealing with changes to your lifestyle, and supporting yourself is going to look different from non-moms, and that's okay. But there's still things you can do. So let's talk a little bit about like what that stress response looks like. So as we said, you know, stress played a huge role in my own digestive and mental health journey. And when it comes to our stress response, you're right. It's not always a bad thing. We need stress to ideally protect us. It's motivating. You know, if we didn't have deadlines with work, we might never get anything done.
Yep.
Those deadlines can also be stressful. But the way physiologically in the body it works is we have our adrenal glands. So our adrenal glands are two small triangular shaped glands that sit just above the kidneys. They produce hormones that help regulate metabolism, blood pressure, response to stress, our immune system, and tons of other essential functions. So one of those hormones that is produced by the adrenal glands is called cortisol. If you are listening to this podcast, you may have heard of cortisol on TikTok or whatever it is, the adrenal cocktail, all these things. It's a little trendy right now. I think what's important to remember is cortisol is important. We need it for hunger cravings, digestion, blood pressure, sleep-wake patterns, physical activity, and our ability to cope with stress. So cortisol has this normal pattern throughout the day. It spikes in the morning around 6 a.m. and then slowly tapers off throughout the day to be at its lowest in the evening. So the way it works is cortisol is spiking in the morning so that we are feeling rested or recharged. We feel like we're awake and energized and ready to take on the day. I say that this is like our bright-eyed and bushy-tailed wake up call. And then throughout the day, it declines so that melatonin can increase in the evening. And that's what helps us feel like we are going to bed, feeling tired and we're ready for bed. Now we can talk about the different phases of burnout, but basically issues arise when either cortisol gets stuck on because we're stressed chronically all the time and we're not managing that stress. That's when you're feeling like you are racing from one task to the next. In the beginning of that phase, you might feel like you're superwoman. You're go, go, go. I can get all the things done. And then when that's locked on for too long, you're in burnout phase where cortisol is always low because we really depleted and exhausted the adrenals. And then what you're left with is, you know, waking up feeling like you didn't sleep at all. Salty cravings, waking up consistently between 2 and 4 in the morning. That's when you're really in that burnout phase. So there's definitely a long period of time, or not always long, but a period of time before you reach that burnout phase that you can assess and address and make some changes before you get to burnout. But yeah, overall, that's kind of like the normal pattern of what cortisol looks like and kind of what things look like when things are getting locked on and eventually, you know, so depleted that we're just like, we're flatlined and feeling like we're dragging our feet.
I love that you pointed out that cortisol in and of itself is not bad. Mm-hmm. I feel like the context we always hear it in is that it's bad, which is not mm-hmm. true. Just like you said, we need it to wake up in the morning. We need it for hunger and fullness cues. There's so many things that mm-hmm. it does, and it's supposed to be present in our body at certain levels and at certain times of the day. So mm-hmm. our conversation today is focusing on the times when there's too much, or because we've had too much for so long, now there's nothing yeah. left. So yeah. I just want to make sure that's clarified for our listeners that cortisol is good. We need it. Mm-hmm. We just need it at the right times in the right amount. And so I want you to tell us now, what are the phases of burnout? How do we start to recognize that we are creeping up towards burnout where our cortisol is not regulated anymore and it's taking a toll on our body?
Absolutely. So you'll see, like, I've seen different amounts of phases of burnout in different research, from 3 to 12 phases. I have it kind of loosely packed into 3 different phases, and you can definitely like stretch these out. But I start first with like our like alarm phase, or this is almost like our superwoman phase, where adrenaline and cortisol are high. We're in that fight or flight response, but we're also feeling like we got this. This is like almost like the honeymoon phase. We're like, I'm go, go, go. I can do this. This is like that hustle culture mentality a little bit. You feel like you can do it all. And this is where we start. We do that for too long. We enter our a bit of like a resistance phase where your body's like, ooh, we're kind of locked on. Cortisol is high. Adrenaline is low. And we're kind of locked on in that high cortisol state where we might notice some of those symptoms of feeling wired yet tired, anxious, dealing with insomnia, or irritable, feeling snappy, might have some increased PMS symptoms. We're waking between 2 and 4 a.m. We have energy crashes. So those are all things that can happen when we're kind of locked on. And there are a number of like metabolic consequences of those chronically elevated cortisol levels. One, this is one I experienced, is weight gain. Weight gain specifically around the abdomen is a protective mechanism for your body. So this is connected to hormone imbalances, blood sugar instability, and inflammation, which can result in that weight gain. And it's your body trying to protect itself. Speaking to the blood sugar piece of the puzzle, being stuck in this fight or flight phase for a long time can really put us on a bit of a blood sugar roller coaster, because in that fight or flight response, our body is liberating glucose from our cells and driving it towards skeletal muscles, the brain. And so we can fight or flee from something that we aren't doing with modern stressors. So what you're left with is this bit of like I said, a bit of a blood sugar roller coaster. You're craving sweets. You're feeling like you just need quick energy. So that's kind of like that middle range. That's when we know, like, we really should start making some changes, when we start to notice some of those symptoms, like the ones I mentioned, maybe difficulty concentrating. You might notice digestive changes, constipation or diarrhea, depending on the person, because these high stress states really do have an impact on digestion and gut health. We talked on the last time you were on my podcast about the mind-gut connection, and that's something that's really at play here. The mind impacts the gut, but the gut also impacts the mind. When we're in that high stress state, not only is our microbiome impacted, but also physically, how quickly food moves through the gastrointestinal tract, it can either slow to a halt, resulting in constipation, depending on the person, or you evacuate your bowels because you're so stressed. And I've seen it on both ends. I've experienced it on both sides. So digestion is really impacted by stress. And I would say a very common overlooked component of things like IBS is stress and anxiety. And we always want to blame the food. I do a lot of digestive work as well. So I do come back to a lot of the poop connection. But we do often want to blame the food, but stress plays a really big role. So that phase two, that resistance phase, that's when we're starting to notice those symptoms that I mentioned. And then our final phase is the exhaustion or burnout phase. This is when we're low on cortisol. We are dealing with some underactive or exhausted adrenals. This is when you feel like you're never getting enough sleep, no matter how much you get. Because again, we need that spike in cortisol in the morning to wake up feeling bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You might be dealing with hormone imbalances, because cortisol is just one hormone produced by the adrenals, and it can interfere with other hormone pathways. And this is when you really just feel like you're dragging your feet all day. You're relying on that coffee for energy. And I really do want to emphasize that this might sound really similar for a lot of new moms out there. And it's not simply like you didn't get enough sleep last night, okay? If this is happening to you and you literally slept for 2 hours, then like, yeah, that's why. But if you're getting 8 hours of sleep and you feel like you've slept not at all, we might be dealing with that burnout phase.
That's a really good point. And I like that you pointed out the whole digestive component, because something that we're not taught about fight or flight is that when our body goes into that state, our body stops prioritizing digesting and absorbing nutrients. Yes. And so whatever food you are eating is either going right through you, like you said, or during that part, you're not getting all the vitamins, you're not getting all the minerals, they're not being absorbed, they're not being utilized. And so now it's compounding into nutritional deficiencies, where sure, you might be eating your fruits and vegetables, but if you're so stressed all the time, your body can't actually take the vitamins and minerals out of the fruits or vegetables to use. Mm-hmm. And now you're lacking in the vitamins and minerals that you need to feel good. And so now it's just this negative feedback loop of it just perpetuates over and over. So I like that you pointed out that connection and how it really isn't just a mind thing. It starts to mm-hmm. affect the entire body.
Oh, and for sure.
It's crazy how normalized it's become. We're like, nope, you just need to go, go, go.
Just push through.
Just push through. You're in a hard phase right now. Just push through the hard phase and then it'll be fine. And you're like, okay, but if I push through the hard phase, what am I left with?
Mm-hmm.
At the end.
And I'm really happy you brought up like the nutrient component too, because what is a really vicious cycle of the stress cycle is You're absolutely right. Nutrient absorption is impacted. Digestion is impacted. Your stomach acid production is impacted. So you might even notice like acid reflux or burping or whatever it might be. And not only that, but periods of stress on the body require added nutrients. There are nutrients that we go through more of when we're going through periods of stress. I'm sure we'll cover this, but one that I would love to touch on now is magnesium. Like magnesium is something that like I love. I'm obsessed with magnesium. Not only is it depleted during periods of stress, it's depleted by excess caffeine consumption, alcohol consumption, and all of these things, in addition to the fact that it's less present in our foods than it once was. So that's one example, but there's a number of nutrients in particular that are commonly depleted when we're in these high stress states. I don't know if you want me to cover the others now or...
Yeah, can we talk about that now? What are some other ones that come to mind?
Another one would be vitamin C. It's a really big one. Vitamin C is our anti-stress nutrient. Our adrenals need vitamin C. And we might even start getting some vitamin C depletions in that superwoman honeymoon phase right at the beginning. So I often encourage my clients to really focus on colorful fruits and veggies during stressful phases to ensure that they're getting some vitamin C intake. Another one is our B vitamins. B vitamins are commonly depleted during this phase as well. And we can get those from like whole grains, legumes.
And B vitamins are important because they are crucial for glucose metabolism.
Mm-hmm. And they're important for our nervous system, for energy.
Yeah. So B vitamins, I feel like are just so like under the radar. Mm-hmm. They are so important. So that's really fascinating that those are some of the ones that get depleted during stress because those are crucial.
And something else that's interesting, if we talk about this like almost negative feedback loop, sometimes decreased stress resiliency can be a symptom of a nutrient deficiency. For example, iron. Iron deficiency symptoms are anxiety. So magnesium is another one where deficiency can often manifest as anxiety. B vitamins as well. Others would be, I mean, a simple nutrient that is like a broad range, but fiber in general is going to be great because it's great for blood sugar stability to get you off of the blood sugar roller coaster. And I think we'll talk about this as well, but you know, stressors aren't always emotional. Being on that blood sugar roller coaster is a stressor on the body. So fiber in general is going to be great for your blood sugar balance and also your gut health. So those are the things that I tend to focus on the most when I'm starting out with someone who's in that high stress state, but also doing it in a way that is not adding more stress to this person's plate, which I think is the most important thing to focus on here. It's not spending hours in the kitchen. It's not creating complicated recipes. It's where can we get this nourishment that makes sense for us in this phase of our life?
Yeah. And it's not as simple as just grabbing a whole bunch of supplements off the shelf either.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So before we touch on the nutrition aspect, I want to understand burnout just a little bit more. Does our body know the difference between physical, mental, and emotional burnout, or is it all treated the same? Like it all results in this overdrive?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. And I think when I'm referring to like stress, because stress and burnout, I think, go hand in hand. Burnout is when we're chronically stressed for too long.
Okay.
So I think of it like a stress bucket. And where are we adding to our stress bucket? So there's some things that we're adding to our stress bucket that we don't have control over. And there's some things we do. The things that we don't have as much control over are some of those emotional stressors like finances, our job, our home life. Things that we have a little bit more control over are some of those physical stressors that we're putting onto our body. And those could be the ones that are sending us over the edge. And if we are doing things like including an inflammatory diet, we're on a blood sugar roller coaster, we're having lots of sweets, we're consuming a nutrient poor diet, we're not getting enough sleep, we're over exercising, we don't have good I mentioned sleep, but like we don't have good sleep hygiene. We have unrealistic expectations of ourselves, poor gut health. Those are all things that can be adding to your stress bucket. So if some of the things you can focus on, especially like as a mom, of course, like being a parent, that's a stressor that's going to be in the stress bucket. Okay. But things we can take out of the stress bucket are chronic inflammation, our sleep patterns, sometimes depending on the stage that your kids are at, the blood sugar dysregulation, the gut health, the nutrient deficiencies, supporting hormone health. These are all things that we can kind of take some pressure off of the body so that our bucket's not overflowing and we're not like heading towards that burnout phase.
Yeah. And it's not about getting rid of the bucket. It's about managing what goes in the bucket, how much goes in the bucket, and how frequently we're emptying the bucket, or at least trying to, right?
Yeah. Like I've said from the beginning here, like I am not stress-free. I'm not like a Zen person all the time. I'm a type A perfectionist. I run two businesses. And it's tough. I have to really think about my stress bucket. And for me, it's a combination. And actually, I think this is maybe where we'll go next, but the things we can do to support our stress bucket, for me, it's a combination of nourishment, movement, sleep hygiene, and, you know, stress management practices like journaling, talking with friends, participating in a hobby, disconnecting from technology. I have days that I'm stressed, but I'm not using unhealthy coping mechanisms for the stress. And I'm always working to like decrease my stress bucket so that I can be resilient to stressors that come my way.
That's a great point. So let's move into that now. So if we are sitting here and we're like, oh my gosh, I think I might be burned out. I think I might be, or maybe like we're in that second phase where, you know, things are starting to get really bad, but we're not quite on empty yet. If we're sitting there and we recognize, oh shoot, that's me. What, in your opinion, is the first thing that we should do? Should it be nutritionally related? Should it be sleep? Should it be journaling? Like, what's the first thing that you would recommend we do when we recognize that we are burning out?
I think it really depends on the person. And I would say if this is you right now, what is one thing that you think you can do? Are you going all day without eating? That's stressful on the body. Can we have breakfast? Bonus points if we have a good source of protein with breakfast. That's it. I'd say so. Nutrition is, I guess, where I think an easy-ish place to start is, because we can make some small but impactful changes. But if nutrition seems like something you just can't even tackle right now, maybe journaling. Maybe you do the sleep hygiene habit. So I'd say it's whatever you can do in this moment without adding more stress to your plate. But if we want to talk about the nutrition side of things, because obviously that's where I'm very passionate, I think there's ways that we can make some changes that don't add to your stress bucket. So one thing I commonly see with a lot of my clients is you wake up, often you're going to work out and you're doing it fasted. You get home, maybe you have coffee, and then you're heading right to work because you're late, or you're eating breakfast in the car on the way to work. You're working through your lunch because we're all overworked these days. And the next thing you know is dinner time and you're starving and you feel like you have quote unquote no willpower. This is where I would start. You know, one, I don't love fasted workouts. I think that we need nourishment to work out. If you are working out in the morning, maybe have a simple piece of fruit or like a handful of nuts or seeds. And then after your workout, before you have coffee, have a simple breakfast. If you don't love eating breakfast, this could be as simple as a piece of fruit with like a nut or a seed butter, a piece of toast. If you like breakfast, my favorite things are like overnight oats. You could do a smoothie. Smoothies are my favorite during high periods of stress. You can pack a ton of nutrients into a smoothie and you just blend it up and you can just drink, chew it wherever you are. So I would say, you know, if your day looks like what I described, start with adding breakfast, and having breakfast with or before your coffee so that you're not having coffee on an empty stomach. And then we had this conversation on my podcast as well, as, you know, especially busy moms, you can go all day without eating. Set reminders on your phone, you know, have those snacks for blood sugar stability, which is, again, a stressor. We want to be eating every 3 to 4 hours. We want to make sure you're eating enough throughout the day so that your body doesn't feel like it's stressed because you're not getting enough nourishment. And so that you're not overeating in the evening and you're eating more than your digestive capacity. It's making it harder to sleep because your body is focusing on digestion. So eating enough throughout the day is a really big place to start. I love to encourage protein-rich breakfasts where I can, whether it's a smoothie, eggs, or even like a Greek yogurt. Having these staple, like pantry staples on hand can make this an easier process. And then, you know, when it comes to coffee drinking, are we over consuming those stimulants throughout the day? Those can have negative impacts on our stress levels because they're stimulating to the central nervous system. Sometimes, yes, as a brand new mom, you need a little bit of coffee to get through your day. But you could also think about some lower caffeine alternatives. Something like a matcha latte still has caffeine, but it also is full of antioxidants that your body will love during periods of stress. Or maybe you do like a half caf where, you know, you mix some decaf and some full caf beans and you get a little bit of a kick, but it's not quite as much. Thinking about, are you over consuming those stimulants? Are you drinking enough water? You know, hydration, dehydration is stressful in the body, and a symptom of dehydration can be anxiety. Are you pushing through workouts even though your body's really telling you you need a break? Maybe if you still want to move your body, you opt for more restful or restorative forms of exercise like walking or yoga or something that's still going to get the blood flowing, but, you know, you don't need to be doing HIIT workouts every day. Those are the few of the, that's a lot, but I mean, those are a few, especially the nutrition components that I would focus on.
Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes. I love that you pointed out eating breakfast. I used to wear it as a badge of honor that I didn't need breakfast and I could make it through my day without eating breakfast. And my brother is still the same way. He's like, I'm so cool. I don't need to eat until lunchtime. It saves me time in the morning. And now that I have like gone through this journey of burnout and learning all of this stuff about nutrition, I'm like, I don't know how you survive without breakfast. Because now that I'm so used to eating breakfast and my body is so much better, I cannot function without breakfast. So for my mamas listening, if you sit there and you're like, okay, that's great, but I'm not hungry when I eat or when I wake up in the morning, that's a sign.
I was just going to say, this is a symptom of stress.
Yeah, that's a symptom of stress. That's a symptom of imbalanced cortisol. Yeah. That is your indicator that we need to eat breakfast if you aren't desiring it. And you don't have to eat 500 calories right off the bat. No. Just like you said, start small, have toast and an egg. If you never eat breakfast, start small or have one of my adrenal smoothies. I don't know if I told you this in our podcast, Brittany, but, I love the adrenal mocktails, but for me, it's too much sugar all at once, even though it's supposed to help the adrenals. So I created an adrenal smoothie where it's got the vitamin C, the sodium, the potassium, but then it also has protein, fat, and fiber so that it regulates your blood sugar. And it's calorie dense as well so that you can have it as a meal and still get all the benefits of nourishing your adrenals and helping regulate your body. So that's one of my favorite things to do in the morning is I'll make an adrenal smoothie to just like get me on the right track right off the bat. And Yeah, just like you said, focusing on what you can do, I think, is the most important thing. Because yeah, some people, maybe you are good at eating breakfast, but then you forget to eat for 7 hours. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're really good about eating all day, but you forget to go outside and like mm-hmm. breathe fresh air and look at the sun. So figuring out what's doable for you right now and what's something very simple that you can change mm-hmm. and just focus on one thing at a time. I feel like a lot of us are like, oh my gosh, I need to do all of these things. And then we mm-hmm. get in that paralysis of there's so much to do. I can't do anything.
100%. We live in this all or nothing kind of world, right? Where it's like, I need to do everything perfectly, but if I can't do it all perfectly, I'm just not going to do anything at all. And that is the opposite of what I work on with my clients. I'm like, what is one thing that you can do today? Can you have breakfast? Or if you eat breakfast, yeah, and you don't eat anything else, let's focus on lunch. You know, how much color can you get on your plate? Like you mentioned with the adrenal smoothie, I think one thing that I commonly see missing is balance in a plate or in a meal. And as much as I think the adrenal cocktail is great, because it provides you with the nutrients your adrenals love, right? But you're exactly right. It is a bit of a blood sugar spike, which like stressful. So adding a source of protein, fat, and fiber to meals. Maybe you do eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but you're like, oh shoot, I don't know where my protein's coming from. Think about those things, because adding that balance in that protein, fat, and fiber is going to help slow that release of glucose into the bloodstream, which is not only going to help with the blood sugar roller coaster, but it's going to help with your energy levels. A lot of the time when I see clients, specifically lunch, I see this a lot. It's missing either a good complex carb, it's missing a source of protein, and then that's when you get that energy crash at 3 p.m. So if we focus on a nice balanced lunch, then, you know, not only are our adrenals a little happier, our blood sugar is a little more balanced, but we might notice more energy as, you know, we have this more consistent and sustained release of glucose into the bloodstream.
That's such a good point. And something else I wanted to touch on was, because I've had a lot of my clients and a lot of my moms say this, they're like, okay, that's great, but I have little kids pulling at my mm-hmm. pant leg all day. I can't sit down to eat a meal. Or, you know, it's like World War III trying to drag my kids outside, or whatever your battle is. It's really hard with little kids. I have a 2.5-year-old toddler. I have a 3-month-old baby and my husband's deployed. So I'm doing it by myself. I know the struggle. And something that my friend Allegra told me when I was talking to her about how stressed I was, is she said, okay, we need to practice the 3 Ds. She said, do, delegate, or delete. And she's like, if you're feeling this overload, if you're feeling all of this stress, I want you to write 3 columns of what you can do or what you have to do and what your responsibilities are, and then get really good at that list and find ways to make that possible. Then look at your list and be like, okay, what's something I can delegate? Maybe I delegate it to my partner. Maybe I delegate it to a neighbor. Maybe I hire a cleaning lady once a month. So maybe instead of me vacuuming my house and dusting all the blinds, I treat myself and I spend the $75 a month to have someone come do that for me. Is that ideal? That's up to you. But maybe that's something that will help you feel less stressed of, okay, that's something I can delegate. Maybe it's finding a neighbor swap where one day a week you get to drop your kids off at her house and she watches your kids and you get to go do something. And then you guys switch the next week and it's your turn to watch her kids, so that she can go have that for herself. What can you delegate to still get accomplished, but it's not your responsibility? And then the third one is delete. What can you actually get rid of right now? Maybe it's not forever. Maybe it's just for a month. Maybe it's for a couple months where you kind of are trying to get out of this burnout and get yourself resettled. What can you put on the back burner? What can you delete for now so that it's not clogging up your bucket and making it really hard to manage what's actually important? And if you can separate your life into those 3 categories, it really makes you sit down and be like, okay, actually there's not as much on my plate as I think there is, because now I know what's important, like what truly is important. And I know the other things that if I have extra time, if I have extra energy, I can do that. But now I know how to organize everything, and that helps take stress away as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, like I don't have kids, and some things that stress me out don't stress my partner out. And it's like, okay, well, he can do that. But also, like, there's some weeks where I'm so busy that like even going to the grocery store seems overwhelming. So I'll order groceries and have them delivered. Like, that's okay. I'm great at doing laundry, not great at folding it. Not gonna lie, my mom comes over once a week and helps me fold clothes. Like, that's okay. And she'll probably do it more when there's kids around, right? I think like there's, it's good to ask for help, especially as women. We have this hat that we wear and we need to do it all. And that's not fair. We're living in a world where, you know, it's just not realistic anymore to wear all of the hats. So yeah, delegate, ask for help. And you're absolutely right. Like, I've got kids pulling on me. Like, I can't make a meal, like, or I can't like sit down and eat. Do what you can, right? Just do what you can. It's going to look so different for everyone. And yeah, I love all the suggestions you have. I think you're definitely like the mom focus is there. You're living it, you're in it. And I think that those are some really like real and actionable steps that you can even just like seek out. Some other things I do, like, for example, in the summertime, I participate in like a farm share program where, you know, local produce is delivered to my door. You just invest in it at the beginning of the farm season. And I find that so easy. Like, I don't have to go to the farmer's market every week. I can get fresh produce to my house, and maybe I spend a little bit extra on delivery each week, but like, it's like $5. Like, it's worth it for me. Yeah. So, you know, I'm really happy you brought that up, because especially the delegate, we feel like we need to do it all. There's some days where like, I just ask my husband to throw some stuff into a slow cooker, 'cause I'm just pooped. I'm like, yep. You know, I just need that help. And, or maybe, you know, you take advantage of the time when kids are in school, if you have school age children, and you throw everything into a slow cooker to be ready for later. Or, you know, these nourishing meals don't need to be complicated. My favorite things to utilize are kitchen gadgets, like a slow cooker, a pressure cooker, air fryer, toss it in and forget it. Like, because I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to cooking. And I'm sure a lot of the moms out there can sympathize with that as well. So, you know, I think there's often like nutrition is often overcomplicated, and it doesn't have to be. Where's your protein? Where's your fiber? Are you getting some healthy fats in? Focus on as much color as possible. And above everything, just try not to get stuck in a rut. Focus on diversity. You know, if you had an apple for a snack for your mid-morning snack last week, maybe do a pear this week. Your gut loves diversity and your mind loves a healthy gut. So, you know, switch it up. But don't overcomplicate it. Like, that's just adding more stress to the plate.
I totally agree. So now I want to ask you what some of your, I know we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to go more in depth on it. What are some of your tips for keeping nutrition simple? Like, do you have go-to recipes, or at least like principles of recipes that you gravitate towards to keep things easy? Or do you have like a handful of foods that you just try and keep in your pantry at all times? Like, how do you keep nutrition simple so that it's not adding stress to our plate?
100%. I do a lot of things. 'Cause again, like I'm not in the mom boat, but I'm busy, right? And so I try and simplify wherever I can. So one thing that you mentioned is absolutely one thing I do and that I recommend to all of my clients is pantry staples. Have some things in your pantry at all times that you can whip up a good meal with, whether it's dried or canned beans, frozen veggies, rice, quinoa. I'll keep like personally like tofu on hand, or even like some chicken in the freezer for some easy protein options, but also the beans and legumes are something that I'll use for protein. I'll have yogurt on hand pretty much always in case I need a yogurt bowl for breakfast or as a snack or in a smoothie. And again, that's probiotics, so it's a good source of healthy bacteria. Sure, I have lots of different types of nuts and seeds to add to smoothies, yogurt bowls. I even like sprinkle hemp hearts like on my toast for a little added fiber. healthy fats, that kind of thing. So in addition to that, like I always make sure I have like coconut milk on hand for curries. Again, like red curry paste. I find curries are just something that's super easy. If I have a rice, a quinoa, or a rice noodle, and whatever veggie I can find in the fridge or some frozen ones, add some protein source in there, and all you need is a curry powder and some coconut milk. Like, it's the easiest thing ever. So I do a lot of those like one pan meals where it's a stir fry or a curry or something that's easily, I always call them like everything but the kitchen sink recipes, where you can easily modify, change your protein source, change the vegetable, do whatever you have on hand. And I have a few of those recipes that I kind of rotate between, whether it's like a curry with a rice noodle, or I have this one that I love that's like a spicy peanut butter chickpea dish that I have with rice, or maybe I just have a bunch of veggies that I can saute and put in tacos with some chicken. Like, that the pantry staples I find super, super helpful. And I think too, like, I think I mentioned as well, the kitchen gadgets. I use my air fryer, my pressure cooker every single day. Slow cooker, I'll try and use, especially during the seasons where the veggies are in season, like the fall where there's lots of root veggies. My slow cooker is going crazy and I just freeze it. So I tend to like double up on recipes and freeze it or put it in the fridge for lunch the next day. So yeah, use your freezer as well. I don't know. Some people like don't like using the freezer, but I think that that's like, there's nothing wrong with it. It for me, lunches are hard. I'm good with breakfast. I'm good with dinner, but I'll work through my lunch if you give me the opportunity to. So I find that if I make like a bunch of soup on the weekend or even like in the fall when like butternut squash is in season, I'll pull it out of the freezer the night before and I can just heat up some soup. If there's no protein in the soup, which I try and have a protein focused soup, I'll have like a hard-boiled egg on the side or something to get some protein in. So pantry staples, use the kitchen gadgets, use the freezer. And I would say, yeah, I mean, like we said, don't overcomplicate it, you know, get your protein, your fat and your fiber in, focus on color and diversity.
That's a really great list. I want to add two things to that. And you did touch on this. The first one I wanted to make sure you reiterate is like doubling up and either freezing the leftovers or eating the leftovers for lunch. Especially if you're like pregnant and you're preparing for postpartum, double whatever you make while so that you can eat something now while you're pregnant. And then the next serving is after baby comes. And then your partner isn't stressed about making dinner. If they're never the ones that make dinner and all of a sudden you're out of commission, they're not stressed. And like, I don't know how to cook. You're like, go to the freezer, thaw it, warm it up. We're good. So I like that you brought up doubling up your stuff. And then my number one hack that I try and get all of my moms to do is, making one of your pantry staples bone broth and just forgetting chicken broth or forgetting water anytime you need to cook a starch or make a soup. Yeah. So instead of cooking your rice, pasta, noodles, whatever in water, you cook it in bone broth. It is like the easiest way to boost your nutrients, like without even trying. You're not doing any more work than if you were filling it up with water. But you're getting the amino acids, you're getting the collagen, you're getting the electrolytes.
I would even say that like on the bone broth front, if you are just like have no idea what to have for an afternoon snack, just sip on some bone broth. Like it's full of nutrients. It's easy to digest. Of course, like we want to, you know, we don't want to only sip on bone broth all day, but it's a great like quick and easy snack. If you you got babies in both hands and you don't know what to do. But that's an excellent tip. It's amping up the protein. Bone broth is great for our gut lining and it's packed with nutrients. So I'm glad you brought that up as well.
Okay. I just thought of one more question before we start to wrap up. I want to hear your thoughts on supplements because I know there are a lot of companies out there that have like an adrenal complex of sorts for stress or, you know, maybe you do recognize that you're low in iron or you're low in B vitamins or you're low in magnesium. How do we go about using and incorporating supplements? Is it something we should integrate regularly as more of like a prevention thing to help with stress? Or is it something that we do after we realize that we're stressed? Or how do we know how to navigate supplements with all of this?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And there's like no real like straightforward answer, unfortunately. I personally definitely have like a food lifestyle approach first, but there are definitely some nutrients that we're just like not getting much of from our food. Magnesium being a really key example. Magnesium, something that like we are just noticing so depleted in our food system because of soil depletion. It's just not as present in our food as it once was. Add into that, most of us are addicted to caffeine and we're overly stressed. Magnesium is one thing I think many people can benefit from. Keeping an eye out for signs of magnesium excess, which would be if you get loose stools when you take it. Okay. When it comes to like the nutrients, like the magnesium, the B vitamins, the C, iron particularly, I would say get your iron tested before supplementing with it, unless like you're in a demographic that like is, I don't know. I'd say like, I like to get those things tested. B vitamins, I would say if you are noticing other signs of B vitamin deficiency too, like low energy, even like B2, I believe it's B2 deficiency. You notice like little cracks on the side of your mouth, like where your like right on the sides where your smile lines are. If you're noticing other signs of B vitamin deficiency, doing like a B complex, or you can again get those levels tested, specifically B12, B6. When it comes to those adrenal formulas, a lot of those are herbal in nature. So they have like ashwagandha, rhodiola, often like magnesium, sometimes L-theanine or GABA. All these things are awesome. Do we need them? It really depends on your stress levels. I would say those types of things like the ashwagandha, the holy basil, the rhodiola, bring it out when you need it. I also love like, I would prefer to focus on like one thing. Some of those like compounds almost have too much for me. But they can be helpful. I've taken adrenal formulations in the past myself, and during those heightened periods of stress, you might find them helpful. I'm also a really big fan of medicinal mushrooms. So like something like reishi is like, it's coined yoga in a bottle, and it's quite calming. I work with, or I'm affiliated with a mushroom company here in Canada that I love called Aversio Wellness. And I have a discount code through them. I love a reishi magnesium combo in the evenings when I'm just really noticing sleep impacted. But it is important to recognize that like, even though supplements are natural, you always want to double check with your doctor, your healthcare provider, make sure there's no interactions with either certain medications or health conditions that you have. So I would say that there's no blanket approach. But in terms of like long-term usage, I'm really only comfortable with like nutrients, like, so like the magnesium, the B vitamins, that type of thing. The herbal approaches, I think, can be more short-term when we are in kind of the thick of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That was a super great answer. And I agree with everything that you said. I think there are some like magnesium that I just take daily because I'm breastfeeding, and breastfeeding is a stress on the body. And I just like how I feel when I have my magnesium. So that's just something I take every day, and I'll probably take it indefinitely. And then there's other times where you should definitely test first, like iron. I thought that I was low in iron, and so I was about to get an iron supplement, and I was like, I should probably test. I got tested. I actually had not too much, like it was bad, but like I just had excess iron. So I actually had an iron recycling problem instead. And so taking iron was actually going to make my problem worse. So that was good. I'm glad that I got tested for that. So definitely for things like that, make sure you get tested. And then yeah, I agree. The things like ashwagandha, certain teas. I know maca root is another one. Doing it more like here and there as needed if you're already doing XYZ other things that we talked about and you still don't feel like you've had a great day, then sure, here and there, I think. That's mm-hmm. great. So that's a lot of really good points. I want to grab that discount code from you and we can put it mm-hmm. in the show notes in case we do have any Canadian listeners. Are we able to buy it in the United States? Would that work for us?
I believe so with the medicinal mushrooms. Yeah. Like if you are curious about learning more about medicinal mushrooms, like reishi, lion's mane, maitake, chaga. I'm such a nerd on this topic and I think 3 different podcast episodes about it and hormone health and overall health and wellness, menopause, stress. And yeah, if you use code BRIT20, I believe, I'll double check. I'll give it to you after. Okay. You can put it in the show notes. I believe it's something you can get in the States as well. And I find it's kind of like a food based supplement as well that I'll bring in during periods where I need it. For example, like chaga when I'm traveling, because it's anti-inflammatory, and reishi when I'm just not sleeping as great, or lion's mane is good for brain health. So anyways, I went on a mushroom tangent there, but, they're cool to talk about.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because I know nothing. I know about lion's mane and that's about it. So that would be really fascinating to learn about. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we close up?
No, I think we talked about a lot today. And I think I just want to reiterate, to listeners, especially, I know a lot of you are either new moms, busy moms, moms of multiples, and know that stress is always going to be there. That's okay. If you are approaching burnout, the kids aren't anything we can't do anything about them. They're here for good, but we can focus on some of these other things, right? Like, are you taking care of yourself? Are you nourishing yourself? Are you getting a lot of inflammatory ingredients, like highly processed, high sugar, lots of refined carbohydrates? Are you drinking enough water? Are you pooping every day? That's like your daily detox. So just focus on what you can do because you are more limited in this phase of life and that's okay. There's good and bad stresses and being a parent is a stressful thing. It's a good stress. But don't try and get rid of the stress. It's not realistic. And then that's when you're setting yourself up for unrealistic expectations, which is stressful. So I hope that you got from this episode a few actionable steps that you can take to take some stressors out of the stress bucket. But don't obsess over them and make it something that's also stressful, because that's not what we need either.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, so well said. That I think that was a really, really great way to finish. I do have one last question for you. It's a question I ask all my guests. Brittany, what to you is a non-negotiable to living a well-nourished life?
Ooh, good question. And I think for me, I'm a little bit biased because my podcast is called The Balance with Brit Podcast. And I'm very much my approach is a long-term sustainable approach to nutrition. And I think that comes with balance. For me, that's what's important. It's being able to go out for friends with nachos and have a drink. But then also, coming back to my chia seed pudding the next morning and really focusing on nourishing. So I think for me, it's having that healthy balance, having kind of ditching the all or nothing mentality towards health and wellness, because in the long term, it's damaging and it creates this perpetuating cycle of doing everything perfectly and then doing nothing at all. So what I love seeing in myself and in my clients is balance, is having sometimes the things that, holistic nutritionists would say, don't bring into the house, bring them into the house and enjoying them on a Tuesday afternoon so that you don't feel like you need to go in and out of this quote unquote healthy lifestyle. I think for me, balance is the most important thing in setting realistic expectations of myself and my clients.
What a great word. Balance is really, really great. And it's something that I'm working on. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Brittany, it's been so great to have you here today. And I'm so glad that we now got to be on each other's podcast. So we'll have to share your episode as well that we did together mm-hmm. on your podcast. I'll put that in the show notes. If the mamas listening are super excited and want to connect with you, be a part of your world, how can they stay in touch? How can they connect with you?
Absolutely. I would say Instagram is a really great place. My Instagram handle is Holistic Brit with two T's Nutrition. I'm on TikTok under the same handle, but not as active on there. Head on over to my Instagram page and check out some of my freebies and resources. I have a free 7-day stress and anxiety busting meal plan. I also have a meal plan that is paid, but it's 6 months of stress busting recipes. So it's a 6-month meal plan. It's gluten-free, dairy-free, stress busting, and it kind of follows the principles we talked about. And yeah, I have a few projects in the works right now. I'm working on an anti-inflammatory course. I think inflammation is a really big root of stress in the body as well. So if that's something that resonates with you, definitely head on over to my socials and stay tuned for when that's going to be released. And yeah, head on over to my podcast and listen to my episode with Brooke, among many others. I cover a wide range of topics. It's called the Balance with Brit podcast, and balance is really the name of the game here. And that's kind of what I'm striving for in this holistic health space. Because again, it's commonly overcomplicated, and I just wanted to just ditch that. So I would love to absolutely connect with everyone who's listening. Head on over to Instagram. That's a great place to start.
Perfect. And are you accepting clients right now in case they want to work with you one-on-one?
Yeah, absolutely. If you head on over to either Instagram or my website, Holistic Brit Nutrition, you will see all of my different service options. You'll see some in-person services because I do have an office locally, but I see clients all over the world. So don't worry if you're not local to me. And I offer different packages and periodic workshops and that kind of thing. So definitely stay in touch that way as well.
Perfect. So many ways to get help from you and learn from you. That's absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brittany. And mamas, we will see you in the next episode. And that's the end of another episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.